I haven't recorded an audio boo in a while. It looks like my last one was 23 days ago. And I was talking about looking for an iOS app developer. I'm almost to the point of giving up. It's been so frustrating. But I did just see a movie, and I thought it was worth commenting on, especially because I've had a lot of conversations lately about comics and superheroes in particular. And I just saw X-Men. X-Men First Class, which I'm just going to say in my head that this is the first and only X-Men movie that's been made. I didn't really care for the others. I'm going to start off by, before I sort of get into the movie and whether or not I think you're going to enjoy the movie and why I enjoyed the movie, I'll just go ahead and I'll say that I'm going to give this particular movie on a scale of 1 to 10, about an 8.5. And most of the reason that it's only an 8.5 and not a little bit higher than that is I think they could have gotten away with doing the original characters from the X-Men book rather than sort of a hybrid mishmash of characters from different eras in X-Men. But, I mean, if it tells you anything, as I said, I'm still giving it an 8.5 out of 10. The reason is this. I'm going to start off by saying something that will almost get you stoned, not in the fun way, in the ooh, you throw a rock at my head sort of way. It will almost get you lynched with some of the people that I have these kinds of conversations with, and that's that I was a little disappointed in The Dark Knight. You remember the Batman movie that came out a couple of years ago, The Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan and his take on Batman and Batman Begins. Now, let me explain. I enjoyed Christopher Nolan's Batman, both movies. But as a lot of comic book fans will tell you, a lot of old school comic book fans will tell you, Nolan's movies are a little apologetic, and I think unnecessarily so. And what I mean by that is, those are movies that work because they are trying their best to pull away from anything that seems like a comic book. The Dark Knight is a fantastic movie and a great story, and the characters are amazing. The casting is excellent. Christian Bale is not a genius at it, but perfectly acceptable and believable as Batman and Bruce Wayne. Heath Ledger was astoundingly awesome as the Joker. But at the same time, a lot of what made that movie palatable for a lot of people was not so much embracing the comic book as trying to sort of hide, almost embarrassingly, that this is material that came from a comic book. Because a lot of people just don't see that as being, I was saying, I've had conversations lately on superheroes. Lovely Kate Sherrod, who is always, always, always a blast to have these kinds of debates with. She and I very much don't see eye to eye where comic books and superheroes are concerned. This also gives me a chance to sort of explain myself, because we were sort of direct messaging back and forth the other day. About why she's not all that enthusiastic when it comes to superheroes and why I am. Well, after watching X-Men today, this completely validates why I love the comic book superhero as an archetype so much. First of all, just to get into a little bit about the movie, the movie is set in the 1960s. It's 1962. This movie is astoundingly well-placed in terms of time, setting. It is brilliant. Okay, now I said before I didn't like the original X-Men movies. The first movie was fun. It was interesting to see something called X-Men in a movie theater. Second movie was considerably better because it was a little bit closer to the original material. Third movie was atrocious. It was unwatchable. Ignore it. It should be buried 6 feet under the lunar surface and forgotten and never brought up again. The Wolverine movie, exactly the same. Terrible, atrocious, not worth watching, not worth wasting your time on. If you did enjoy it, go back and watch it again after I've explained to you why X-Men First Class is so genius. all those other X-Men movies and most superhero movies deal with having powers, and is this a good thing? Is it a blessing? Is it a curse? Et cetera, et cetera. X-Men First Class is the first really adult superhero movie. Out of everyone that I've seen, that includes Iron Man, that includes Thor, and both of which were excellent movies, this is a grown-up movie. I don't mean it's a grown-up movie because it's got naked people in it, and because it doesn't, and because they use bad language, which they don't much, even though it does have the best use of the F word I've seen maybe ever. It was really funny. There's just one, and it's very well placed, because in a PG-13 movie, you can only get away with one. But anyway, X-Men First Class was mature in the sense of how it was dealing with the ramifications of the existence of these characters in the real world. This was set during the Cuban Missile Crisis, set during the heyday of the Cold War. And this is the first time that the government and governments around the world, especially the United States and Soviet Union, become aware of the existence of people that can do extremely dangerous things and are extremely unpredictable and dangerous to control. And it's just to sort of summarize, one of the most impressive things that this movie accomplished was it asks a question. It begs an answer to a question which we in society are really having to deal with now. And we are going to deal with more and more as we get into the future. Traditionally, X-Men is regarded as a sort of a metaphor for racism, sexism, homophobia, where you have a segment of society against another segment of society. And some of that is in this movie. The first three movies and Wolverine, they orbit around that and that alone, really. Look at this wonderful allegory for racism and the civil rights movement, and etc. X-Men First Class has, no pun intended, well, pun very much intended, X-Men First Class has evolved beyond that to where that's not the central issue. These people have powers and they get on with it. The story in this case is, once this Pandora's box is opened, and it's a box that the political powers and the social powers of the world have no control in opening. But once it's opened, what do you do with it? You know, it's what happens when you have people that can do these things. It reminds me very much of a question, and this was something also in my little debate with Kate the other day that I brought up. This is the first superhero movie where I've seen a mature dealing with the question that I first remember Terrence McKenna asking a long time ago. And it's a question that we're going to have to answer in the future. And it's, what do you do if you can do anything? That's a grown-up question. That's a question for a mature mind. What do you do when you're capabilities become such that you lose boundaries, or that boundaries become unnecessary or ineffectual? And it's a fascinating question that this entire movie delves into. This movie, what I also liked was it is extremely well-paced, but fast-paced. It does not waste time getting into the meat of the story, and every scene pushes the story forward. It is another reviewer I remember had said, and I agree with this, it has no fat on it whatsoever. It moves along at a very brisk pace, still packing in a lot of information and a lot of very relevant plot forming situations that you need to know, and that all lead up to what I'm going to go ahead and put down as the absolute single best superhero movie, and I use that in quotes, film climax ever. This is absolutely the best, bar none. Every other superhero movie that I've seen, they always, no matter how great they are, they always fall back to a certain kind of climax where it's some titanic struggle on, you know, in Thor, it was Thor against Loki on the Bifrost Bridge, and Iron Man, it's always Iron Man against whoever else has a big suit of armor. The Hulk, it's the Hulk against the... The climax of this movie was so subtle and so poignant. The two actors, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, nailed their characters. I want them to play these characters from here on out. I don't want anyone else. Forget, as much as I love Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, these two new actors, they have owned these roles. Because you see, for once... that Professor X, Charles Xavier, is not infallible. And Magneto is not evil. He has very good reasons to believe what he's going to believe. And I'm ashamed to say, but it's probably true, that in the real world, Magneto's point of view is probably correct. That it would result in genocide. So it's a fantastic movie. Fantastic movie. Superheroes are more than cardboard stand-up myths that we've merely, you know, stuck in the same corner that Hercules and Apollo and Achilles used to stand in. It's not a placeholder for something older that we have, in our great wisdom, ironically, outgrown. Superheroes are a kind of reflection. And that sense of power, to sort of answer what we didn't really get to finish the other day, Kate, in case you're listening, that sense of power that these characters represent, particularly, I think, poignant in the X-Men, is a reflection from some period in the future that is sort of casting itself back to give us these sort of flickering images today of what we will have to deal with at some point in the future, which is, again, you know, power to do a great many things, whether it's by technology or genetics or however you want to put it. It foreshadows the complexity with which we're going to be beset, and whether or not we mature fast enough to know how to deal with, you know, what we would consider today impossible variables in society and in civilization. And I got to tell you, I geeked out a lot seeing Michael Fassbender in that helmet, because it works. I remember they tried so hard not to make the helmet look stupid. Well, I got news for you. Does not look stupid at all. He is Magneto. I mean, it was very well done. So I highly recommend X-Men First Class. Go out and see it soon, see it often. And let me know if you think that that I'm being overblown. I don't think so, but I'm happy to debate it as always. Send me an email, isobon@gmail.com, or follow me on Twitter.